Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Psalm 119 and verse 18. And by the special grace of the Almighty God, today I finish this series. And where I finish, you start. You take it up from there for private meditation so that you can profit by the word. Hebrews chapter 4, let me show you a scripture. It said the word, the same word that was preached unto us was preached unto them. It said in verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest. So there is a promise over our lives that we will enter into God's rest. Can I have an amen to that? He said, but let's fear therefore lest that promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you, Expression House members, should seem to come short of it. May you enter into God's rest. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. He said, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Was it a problem with the preacher? Was it a problem with the word? Who got the problem right there? Them that heard it. It said the word did not profit them. Why? Because they only heard it. It wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard, but no faith. I thought the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Let me help you a little bit this morning as I go into my message. Faith does not automatically come by hearing sound waves bouncing off your earlobes. What do I mean? Listening to a message does not make faith come. Listening to it over and over and over and over and over like 1,000 times does still not bring faith. Oh, no, Pastor, I thought that was what we knew all these years, that when we listen and listen, because faith cometh, listen to me, everybody, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let me tell you what that scripture says. It says faith cometh by hearing. And hearing, what it translates as the word of God in KJV is Rhema Christos. Rhema means the spoken word. Christos means the anointed one. So, faith only comes when you hear Rhema Christos. What does that mean? Faith comes when you hear the utterance, the spoken word of the anointed one. Who is the anointed one? Jesus. Now, you can hear, you may hear the anointed words of Jesus from his anointed servant that preaches his word. Yes, that is possible. You can hear the anointed words of Jesus from your own private Bible study. When you are not just reading, you are not just studying, you are not just meditating, but the word has got to the level where the word is now speaking back to you. You are not just reading the Bible is now reading you. Faith comes. Did you hear what I said? So it is not how many times I listen to a message that determines the level of faith. We encourage that you listen again and again because you don't get to hear everything in one message. Do you know this? The message I preached last Sunday, oh, wonderful, powerful. Even when I go back to listen and to watch, I will hear certain things I didn't know that I said. Oh, really? The Holy Ghost brought it at that point. It's not even in my note. You will hear certain things and say, ah, but I was in the service. When did pastor say this? Anybody got that experience before? That's why we go over and over again, because you will hear certain things that you didn't hear. And in hearing, may you hear. Because when you hear, your life will change. When you truly hear, not just the phonetics, not just the semantics and the syntax, not just the explanations and example, but the anointed word meant for you, when you get it, faith comes. It always comes with faith. It always comes with faith. It always comes with faith. Jesus said, on that day, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they that hear shall live. Not everybody, they that hear. So your hearing is very important, and many times it deals with the state of your heart. Your hearing is determined by the state of your heart. Is there honor in your heart? When there is no honor for God, there's no honor for his servant, you are not likely to hear. Hearing is important. The people in the house of Cornelius were hungry. Cornelius had invited them to come and hear God's word because an angel appeared to Cornelius. And the angel told him, because angels don't preach the gospel, the angel said, send to Joppa for one Peter, Simon Peter, staying in the house of one Simon the Tanner. It will tell you what to do. Acts of the Apostles chapter 10. And the Lord ministered to Peter as well, showed him a vision where he saw animals, all kind of things that the Jewish people normally would not eat. They don't eat crawling animals. They don't eat fish that doesn't have scales, like catfish. They don't eat it. And everything came down, and the Lord said to Peter, rise up, kill, and make you some good lunch. Because Peter actually went upstairs to pray. He was waiting for food to be ready. In the course of that, he fell into a trance. Because Peter was a man of like passion. He wanted food. And the Lord knew what he wanted. The Lord brought a vision in line with his appetite. The Lord said, now rise up, kill, and eat. He said, no, I'm not going to eat anything. Even in the trance, he was still Jewish. I'm not going to eat anything that is unclean. And the Lord said, whatever I've sanctified, don't call unclean. Why? The Lord was going to send him to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. The Jewish people regarded the Gentiles as unclean. They never mingled with them. That was why the woman by the well in John chapter 4 was amazed. The Samaritan woman was amazed that Jesus, being a Jew, would ask her for water. Because you guys don't talk to us guys. Jesus was already breaking the protocol. Every soul belongs to God. And so Peter, Jesus now was sending Peter to the house of Cornelius. Every soul belongs to God. Cornelius was an unbeliever who believed in God. It's amazing that he prayed. He knew there was one true God. And he didn't just pray. Cornelius was given to almsgiving. He was always giving, giving to the poor. God said, look, in fact, the angel said the word of God. He said, go and meet him. Tell him your prayers, one, and your generosity have ascended to God for a memorial. So when we pray, God is taking account of our prayers. One person is in church this morning. Those of you who don't attend prayer meeting, can you see that? God is keeping attendance. Your prayers and your generosity, your almsgiving, have ascended to God for a memorial. So Peter, go and preach to that guy. Because angels don't preach the gospel. The angel just told him, send for Peter. That's the human agent that will come and preach. It has been given to us as the people. That's why Isaiah said in Isaiah 52 verse 7, how beautiful at the feet of those who preach the gospel on the mountains. How beautiful upon the mountains at the feet of them that bring good tidings. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? There must be human beings, not angels, who preach good tidings. The angel linked him up. And because Cornelius had never seen an angel before, he knew this was a supernatural encounter. A gift operated in him. That is the gift of discerning of spirits. He saw an angel. He had never seen an angel before. This was a supernatural encounter. He had to send for all his friends, family members. You better come because there's a special message we need to listen to. And the people came with hungry hearts. And when Peter entered the house, Peter began to talk to them. And in verse 38 of Acts chapter 10, Peter said, how God anointed Jesus. He came to preach Jesus. How God anointed. That's why any other message outside Jesus is rubbish. Our message only must be Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the afternoon, Jesus at night. We may go about, round about, talk about this topic, that topic. It must wind up inside Jesus. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because with him is the fountain of life. And it's in his light we see light. I got into Psalm 36 and verse 9. So Peter was saying, now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Healing how many people? All that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. The devil is the oppressor. God is the healer. Can I have an amen? Amen. Till today, some people still say in the body of Christ, when somebody is sick, they say maybe it is the will of God for the person to be sick. How can it be the will of God? How can it be the will of God? If it was the will of God, then when Jesus came, he must have disobeyed the Father. If it was his Father that made them sick, how could you, the Son, make them well? It was the devil that oppressed them. Every sickness is an oppression of the devil. When you find a boil in your body, when you find a growth somewhere, when you are feeling uncomfortable, when there is pain in your body, don't pamper it. Don't explain it away. It's an oppression of the devil. The devil is trying to oppress you. He's trying to oppress your mind, give you anxiety, bipolar kind of disorder, all kind of mental torment and torture, all kind of depression. Now, don't pamper it. It's an oppression of the devil. And you must treat it as an oppression. And you must deal with the oppressor and command him in the name of Jesus to get his dirty hands off of your body. Can I have an amen? Amen. While Peter was yet speaking, verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell, not on all them that were in the house. Read your Bible intelligently and read it with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost didn't fall on all them that were in the house. Because there might be some doubting Thomases amongst them. Do you mean one man came and healed everybody that was oppressed of the devil? What are you saying? I'm here because of Uncle Connie. Say what you got to say and get out of here. There are people who come to church. I don't know why they come to church. But they come to church. Pastor, do what you got to do. I have my own appointment. Yeah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, yeah. They don't get much from the message. The Holy Ghost fell. Read it very well. On how many? All them that, or which, as many as heard, the Holy Ghost fell. So, a lot of miracles will happen in your life when you truly hear. When you hear. When you hear. You hear and then you hear. You hear from here into here. Amen. You hear from here first, the natural, and then it goes into the spirit. When you truly, that word is for me, faith comes. Miracles follow. Actions follow. Because faith has come. Boom! Oh, yeah? I can open a business. I believe that. Yeah? My God has supplied all my needs. What's stopping me? Faith grabs your spirit and is shown by your action. Hello, do you know an agent? Please, I need an office space. I need a shop. I need this. I need that. You don't have all the money. You are not looking at the money anymore. All of a sudden, something has gripped your heart. And you begin to put action to it. All of a sudden, you get up from your deathbed. I said, come on, come on. I'm healed. A healed person does not lie down sick like this. No, I was healed over 2,000 years ago. Who is trying to keep me here? In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Boom. And you get up. You go to the shower. You take your bath. Strength begins to come. All of a sudden, you ask for food. They bring you food. You eat. You've not eaten in 3 days. Now you eat. Now strength is coming. Faith has taken hold of your heart. And then action is following. James 2:17. For faith without corresponding action is dead on arrival. Faith comes. All of a sudden you think, since I want to travel, I've been applying for scholarships. I don't need an ID card to get a visa. I need an international passport. You get up. You begin to make inquiries. That's faith. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? Oh, God will do it. You're wasting your time. God has done his part. You do your part. So faith comes when you hear. Amen? Faith comes when you hear. I pray for you that this morning you will hear. There are many things that fight your hearing. Number one, the chief among them is dishonor. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. I'll preach that another time. But note it. In John 7, John 8, read the entire 2 chapters. Jesus addressed that issue. They kept dishonoring him. They kept calling him son of Belial. They were calling him that he was using Beelzebub to cast out devils. And he kept telling them, you guys dishonor me. And he said in one of the verses, how come you don't understand? You can't hear what I'm saying. You see, I don't understand people who listened to Jesus, who had the privilege of listening to him. That's the best preacher in the whole wide world and all of heaven. Amen. He was given to him. That's the living word. The living word is speaking to you. And there were people in his meeting that didn't benefit at all from what he said. You know what they said rather? In Mark chapter 6, is this not the carpenter's son? Don't we know his sisters that did not hear amongst us? And they disdained him. Put up Mark chapter 6 for me. And because of that, Mark chapter 6, give me verse 4. Anybody on the system there? Come on now. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor. Normally, is not without honor. It's a honorable thing to be a servant of God. Who is a prophet? The one that preaches and teaches under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's it. Now, is not without honor, but in his own country. You see that? And among his own kin and in his own house. I want to know you, people that live with you, they are the ones that dishonor you the most, people that are very close to you. Now, look at the next verse. And he could dare, he could in his own hometown do no mighty work. Was he anointed? Did he have all the power to do mighty works? Did his power reduce? No, but something blocked the power. Something actually blocked the flow. He could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. Just this, a few, you have headache, be healed, and he went away. But any mighty work, he came to do mighty work. Can you give it to me from verse 1? Kenamahade, lemprostivrahade. From verse 1, please. Who is on the system this morning? And he went out from thence and came into his own country. His own country. His home. His people. And his disciples followed him. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Because you see, when whatever God wants to do in your life will be attached to your hearing his word. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is not a magician. God will walk with his word. God and his word are the same. That word will begin to change how you think. Your mind is being renewed by the word of God. Then things will begin to happen in your life. I told you that last week. When God is ready to do anything in your life, number one thing it will go to is your thoughts. When he speaks his word will come as thoughts to you and change and rewire and re-engineer your thought life. And so, the Bible says he was there to teach in this. He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, look at what they were saying. They were hearing, but they were hearing differently. From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Wisdom, mighty works, connected. Next verse. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? They mentioned his mother's name. You know, when people want to cut you to pieces, when you go to a place where people are honoring you and you have someone that is beefing you there, say, I know her now. The people who attended the same primary school. Her name is Folake. This one that everybody's calling Stephanie. Her real name is Folake. We grew up, when people talk like that, everybody goes, Pastor Fred, PFE. I know people that talk like that. People have told other people like that. In fact, they will even come and tell me later. I told them. I said, your name is Akin. Have I ever argued that wasn't my name? Have I ever argued that? But just because they want to prove to people that you are not all that important. They shouldn't be hyping you that much. You are not all that. I went to speak in a place in Oshogbo years ago. It was the company that hired me as a resource person to come and speak for them. I spoke in Oshogbo, I spoke in Ede, they took me around the southwest, Ondo State, Ogun State, everywhere, including Ibadan, including Ilorin. A particular representative of the company was my friend and a supposed brother from the same church. He was the staff of the company. I was hired as a resource person. Do you see the difference now? And I guess some people listened to my presentation and they kind of liked it. They fell in love with it. And a particular woman was, you know, all out talking about me. Wow, the way the man speaks, like, man, did he school abroad? I have been speaking like this for many years. It's not something I just tried to pick up because I wanted to impress somebody. You can ask those who were my students back in the day, they will tell you. Because I've never seen myself as a local champion. I have always believed that even though I was made in Mokola, but it's from Mokola to the world. Amen? So you prepare for where you are going. You need to have a vision of the future that God has for you so you can start preparing for that future. Long story short, the woman was, you know, all happy and excited talking about me to this brother of mine. And my brother said, look, as you're looking at him, he has never even stepped the airport before. He's never been to the airport with all the English he's speaking. And somehow I got to hear about it. And I was wondering, what exactly were you trying to achieve? Telling her I'd not been to the airport. Was it to say, oh, let's glorify God in his life. He has never been to the airport, but he's speaking like someone from a foreign country. But you know, beyond that, I knew exactly where that was coming from. That was a statement from envy. Guess what the Lord did? Because the Lord heard. When they had that conversation, the Lord was there and the Lord heard. That was in the year 2012. In the year 2013, before the end of the year 2013, there was an opening for me to go to the U.S. My visa was approved and I picked up my passport. My interview was 30th of December, 2013. I picked up my passport in January, first week, as they opened the embassy. And I traveled the following week. So everything happened in a hurry. I didn't have more than 48 hours to purchase my ticket to be on my way to the U.S. I left Nigeria 14th January, landed in the U.S. in Atlanta, Georgia, 15th January, stayed there for 14 days, returned, left the U.S. 30th of January, same month, got to Nigeria 31st of January because I needed to come and preach at the Expression House Sunday morning. But you know what I did in between those 14 days? I ensured to get a card to call some people in Nigeria. I included that woman's phone number because she had been told that I had never stepped the airport. Which was true, because I'd never... No, that was not actually true, because I've been to the airport a number of times. The fact that somebody has not gone abroad does not mean they haven't been to the airport. Do I tell you every day where I'm going? And then who made you the manager of my itinerary? You see, when people try to cut you small, it's coming from the heart of dishonor. Such people can never be blessed under your ministration, no matter how much you sweat. I called this woman from the U.S. with my plus one, 404, etc. number. She picked it up. Hello. I said, hello. My name is Fred Elegbe.
Mr. Fred, where are you?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in Decatur, Atlanta, Georgia, United States of America. I just wanted to say hello to you. See you when I return to Nigeria. End of discussion. So I left it for her and for him to finish up their conversation. May God fight for you. It is sweet. I didn't shed anybody's blood in fighting. I didn't throw tantrums. This was how they treated Jesus. Look at this. They mentioned his mama's name to let you know that they knew him. I know him. His name is Aki. His dad was Mr. Festus and his mom, Mrs. Margaret. Yeah, Margaret, look at mommy now. Yeah? My man talked about Doniwa Julie. Yeah, for real. Ah. In fact, Agbado Mame, La Man Jet, Tabadela to school also. Storytellers. Is not this the carpenter? And was he not a carpenter? Come on, talk to me, church. Was he not a carpenter? Now, the son of Mary, was he not the son of Mary? For you to know, they had facts. The brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Yeah, for real. And are not his sisters here with us? They even knew his sisters. Have you ever heard that Jesus had sisters? He had sisters. Those ladies were blessed to have Jesus as a brother. Come on, man. Read the last line, everybody. Make it out loud. Make it louder. What did he do to curry the offense? He was teaching the word of God in the synagogue. Young ministers, note this. When God begins to give you the platform and you begin to deliver, there will be certain people who knew you from when you were not a preacher who would now refuse to embrace who you are now because they are still holding on to who you were. Victor Ye. A minimosoni Ye. Because you just come on in paraga. But what I got ended in money, yay! With a solid victory. Only the Benz, only preacher, only the company. Moses, man, Bauri, and mine. Look, they might know where you're coming from, but that will not stop your going to. Did you hear what I said? Jesus said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. No man can tell where it is coming from or where it is going. Say, men hear the sound thereof, but no man can tell where it is coming from or where it is going to. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. My goodness, they will not see your sweat, but they will not be able to deny your exploits. Yeah. If you understand that prayer, your amen will be better. Dishonor, dishonor. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, he addressed that dishonor. A prophet is not without honor, but where? In his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. That's where there is dishonor. He had been doing miracles all over the place, all over the place. He came home and they dishonored him. They dishonored him to their own peril. Because those among them that had
mighty diseases died eventually of their diseases. Out of dishonor. You know how people can hold on to something that will kill them? For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You allow the word of God change your mind, my friend. That is when your life will change. But you say, no, I hold on to my proud argument. It's going to kill you. The helper came. They disdained him. What would it have cost them? To honor him, to receive his ministry? Receive him as a ministry gift. As a ministry gift. And the virtue would have flowed very easily from his spirit to them. Because there is always a flow. There is a flow this morning. It depends on how you are receiving. The problem is never with the preacher. In most cases, not in all, but in most cases, if he's truly anointed and prepared by God, the problem is never with the word, the content delivered. The problem is always with the receiver, more often than not. May you be in the right heart attitude, heart condition to receive this morning and beyond this morning in the name of Jesus. Are you with me, church? Have you learned something today? Even if I don't preach anymore, have you gained something today? It's something for us to go back home and chew on and chew on. It's also the reason you must honor your parents. You must honor your parents. There is a flow from them. There is the place for parental blessing. There is a place for the prophetic blessing that comes from your parents to you. Don't be someone that dishonors your mom, dishonors your dad. Don't do that. They went to school. They didn't go to school. None of your business. God said, when you honor them, the right flow will come. What is the right flow? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He says, to honor your father. Can you put that up for me, please? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. And walk in love. And as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us. Okay, this is talking about walking in love. Chapter 6 now. Chapter 6 addresses our parents. Chapter 5 addresses love. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? There is a flow. Verse 2. There is a flow. There is a flow from your parents. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? That it may be well with you. One, and that you may live long. The flow of longevity on earth. That you may live long on earth. It didn't say if you disobey them, you won't make heaven. But you may live short on earth. Did you hear what I said? There is a flow. There is a flow, but it can be the wrong flow. If you dishonor them, dishonor will produce the wrong flow. Honor will produce the right flow. The same for your spiritual parents, your pastors, your leaders. Don't join the bandwagon of young people on X, on Instagram, on all kinds of social media platforms who are specialists in dishonoring men of God that they have never met. They don't even have anything to do with. They just take a clip out of their message, make a mess of it, and begin to hurl curses on them. Huh. It is dangerous because they will not curse you back, but God will curse you. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, when God called Abraham, God said he will bless him and make his name great. In verse 3, he said, he that blesses you, I will bless and curse him. I will curse him that curses you. I will curse him when God. Let me not finish that statement. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? May the Lord open our eyes. Some say, I'm always hyping my father in the Lord. I'm always hyping him. They think I'm ambitious. They really think so. They think I'm hungry to be something big in the Stone Church. I don't have to be anything in the Stone Church. What is important to me is to remain in Christ. But if this is where I'm serving and I'm under his minister and I see him as a ministry gift to my life, a man who has taught me God's word in this hall when I knew nothing about the scriptures until who I am today, I will forever honor him. And I told him on my birthday, I said, sir, this covenant relationship and this honor goes beyond this time. It goes into eternity. I have eternity in view. I'm not going to die young, but I have eternity in view.
He's always hyping him. He's always... Your cup of coffee. You can be disrespecting him as you like. That's why he will make one statement. I hear 10. My spiritual antenna is... I can quote what he said last year when he came to Ablaze. I can quote what he said 2 years ago. I can quote what he said 3 years ago that blessed me and ministered to me. Maybe some of you didn't hear. In one of his sermons, he said, we are children of God. We are servants of men. But we are masters of Satan. Few of you also heard it. And I've been holding on to that. Another time he came, he said, God is the caretaker of the planet of orphans. I'd never heard that before in my life. If you hear me say it, I got it from him. If you hear me say repeatedly, a man with experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument, I heard it from him. I don't listen to a man that does not pray. Don't take advice from a man that does not pray. I heard it from him. On the platform of honor. When I say certain things, people look at me. Where did you get that from? You were in the same service when he said it. And among those who hear, some will bring forth fruit 30-fold. Some will be happy to bring 60-fold. But I'm going for 100-fold return. You find that in Mark chapter 4. Are you with me, church? Honor will bring the right flow. This is not supposed to be my message for today, but I believe God wanted somebody to hear this. Can you say, Lord, please open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law? When God opens your eyes, you will see Jesus like he is, and you see who you are in him. You remember that? When he opens your eyes, you will see who you are in Christ correctly and what is done for you. When God opens your eyes, you will see Satan as a defeated foe. You remember that? Number 4, when God opens your eyes, you will see man for who he is. Is that correct? Number 6. Is it number 5 now? Number 5, we will see challenges that they carry potential for breakthroughs and they are not everlasting. I started that last week. Let me finish that today. In Psalm 30 and verse 5, the Bible says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared. Romans 8:18, please, on the screen, and I want everybody to read it. I don't know who you are this morning. I don't know what you are going through. Don't kill yourself. You have not got to the end of your life. It's only a bend that you need to keep moving. For I reckon, let everybody want to go. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Somebody said there is a glory that will be revealed in us. Say there's going to be glory after this. Say it like you mean it. I'm saying that to somebody by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't know what you're going through, but there will be glory after this. Shout amen if that is you. There will be glory after this. There will be glory after this. This too shall pass in the name of Jesus. Let me let you know that most of the challenges of our lives are cyclical. And that is captured in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. There is nothing you are going through that someone somewhere has not gone through before. Can you give me Ecclesiastes 3, 14 to 15 in the New Living Translation? You see, so when you go through certain things, God allows you to go through it. Most of our life's challenges are cyclical. Therefore, we can glean wisdom from whatever we are going through now. And that forms part of our experience. Why? So that in the future, when there comes such an occurrence again, whether in your life or another person's, you can boldly tell them to calm down because this too shall pass. Can I have an amen? Let's read this scripture. God bless you, media. 1, 2, go. And I know, 1, 2, go. And I know that whatever God does is final, finito. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear him. Next verse. What is happening now, come on, has happened before. And what will happen in the future has happened before. Because God makes the same things happen over and over again. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Don't kill yourself. I failed that course. I don't know how to tell my parents that. The shame is too much. I can't face them. I know my dad is working so hard to pay my bills. I shouldn't go home with this kind of result. So what do you want to do? I think I'm just going to end it. End what? Don't be stupid. Be smarter than Satan. Amen. It has happened before. If you ask your parents, they might also be honest with you and tell you there was a time also. Maybe they didn't fail an exam, but they did something that failed. It's not only exams that fail. Marriages fail. Businesses fail. All kind of ideas fail. Projects fail. And everybody has experienced some kind of failure before in one way or the other. Sometimes we fail morally. We don't tell people that. And so here comes somebody that wants to kill himself because he made a mistake. When you go to a man with godly wisdom and experience, he will tell you, calm down. I heard a man of God, Baba Omolenyi, say some time ago in one of his messages. He's been our guest minister before at the adult church, even in this hall, before we moved to the ICC. I saw one of his clips online. You know, he has a lot of clips online. Thank God for his media team, doing a good job. He referred to a particular year he had a problem. He said he had fasted with his wife. They had prayed the problem would not solve. So he got on the, somebody told him, let's go to Baba Badari. Baba Badari was still alive then. In the physical, he's still alive in the spirit, amen. And they traveled to, I think, Elisha or Akure. I think Baba was in Akure at the time to see Baba Badari. Prophet Badari was visually impaired, but the spirit was 100% accurate. People that knew him said, if you enter the room and he mentioned your name, that's your name. He had that discernment. He could, even though physically he couldn't see, but he had discerning of spirit. He could see into the realm of the spirit. I mean, these were not commercial prophets like we have today. Solid prophet that God called. They suffered in the work of the ministry. And God proved himself. I heard from another preacher. He was preaching one day and he was sweating. So he used his hand to gather his sweat from his face. What's wrong with his microphone now? And then he just splashed it. He didn't see who was sitting in front of him. As the sweat touched a man in front, who was also a blind man, the man received the sight. What do you say to that? The Baba himself that was sweating could not see. He just removed sweat, splashed it, documented testimonies. Some of you will never believe. It is well with you. Because your God is too small, he can't do anything. God does not even need the sweat. Just the preaching alone, the man could stand. I can see in Baba Omolenyi's church, he shared the testimony with us at Dunamis. A blind man that came for help, and he told him, go and wait for me inside the church. When I'm done, I'll come and see you. The man entered the church to wait for him. As he entered the church, he saw. No need for Baba Omolenyi to come and pray again. Anyway, back to what I was saying. So he said he had this problem, and he went to Baba Badari, and he said to him, this is the problem, this is the issue, etc., etc. Baba just laughed. Baba says that the problem. Says, Baba, that's the problem. Baba, I've fasted. I've almost gone with all my fasting. Look at me. Everything. Baba said, go and do so and so. And do so. That's it. He said, Baba? Baba said, yes. He said, Baba, he said he stood up. He went. He came back. He said, Baba, is that all? Baba then asked him, is it more than this issue? Or is it the same issue? Sharo inani, abi me. He said, Baba, is this issue? Baba, but it will be tough. How will I go back to my wife now to tell her that you didn't pray? You didn't lay hand. You didn't sweat. You didn't spit on me. Kite ekbato woli. Baba said, go. So he went. He did what the Baba said, what the prophet told him. The problem was solved. So he said he got in his car and came back to thank Baba.
You know, say, Baba, do you remember that that day you didn't pray? Baba laughed. Baba said, in 1963, I had the same problem. A man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. Even if you like, call it superior argument. Are you getting what I'm saying? Experience has a place in the Bible. I will show you this morning. So some of you that are going through stuff, God is giving you an experience. You have been armed with an experience. David could never have dreamt of facing Goliath if he had not been armed with the experience of facing a bear that stood like a human being and exchanged punches. If he had not experienced facing a lion that engaged him in a mortal combat and he defeated the two of them before facing Goliath. And he said, Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like my past experiences. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's when you can say these two shall pass. How do you counsel someone who is about to commit suicide when you have not sat in the valley of depression yourself before? Now I know. Now I know. You don't have to experience everything in life before you can counsel people with God's word, but God will give you your own unique experiences. Don't wish them away. Don't pray them away. The extra year in school, the extra months in NYSC, the rejection in the place of work, the maltreatment at home, everything is working together. Romans 8, 28, for the good of them that love God and those who have been called according to his purpose. Can I have an amen? I've got experience in certain areas in my life. And I believe it makes me who I am today, a sound teacher and a counselor. Thank God. But you see, when we're having those experiences, they were bitter. We wish they never happened. We wish they never saw the light of day. Everything we go through in life is cyclical. It has happened before. It's going to happen again. It may not be in your life. It may be in the life of someone else close to you. So that you can reach into your purse of experience. With godly wisdom, now you can counsel people and tell them, calm down. What did I tell you? Calm down. Because these two shall pass. Do you know how many people have been calling me now to help counsel their family members who wanted to commit suicide because they were scammed in visa processing? Somebody told somebody about somebody. One guy called me from Lagos. I said, how much money is involved? He said, I only gave our boss. It was their boss that scammed them. She used them as marketers, so they brought people. But the people paid to the boss. But they were the ones that brought the people. He said, I only brought two clients. I said, two. Only two. I said, I brought 45. I said, how much is the money for? He said, like 8 million, no? 8 million. Have you heard of 145 million before? And I'm still well, amen. And my mind is still sound, amen. God didn't cause that to happen. The devil did, but God turned it around for my good. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you have a negative experience, God is not the one responsible for it, the devil. But then God turns whatever the enemy meant for evil, God turns it around for your good. Can I have an amen? Amen. This season, see God turning everything around for your good. Amen. Some people will break your heart, walk away from you. Yeah, don't kill yourself. Don't drink hypo. Don't be like that UI student back in the day. Very stupid. She went to drink hypo because one boy says he wasn't doing anymore. Man, he lost a gem. He lost diamond. You are diamond in the rough. By the time he sees you in the next 5, 6, 7 years, he will be wishing that he married you. He will be on his knees begging you. And you're going to say, hey, would you get out of here? Meet my husband. That's my husband. That's my man. That's the man who had the eagle eyes to see. Glory be to God. And the stone. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Shout amen. If you lost me, you lost a gem. You lost a diamond. I am not a burden, I'm a blessing. You must carry that mentality. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm
precious to God. Royalty. Royal priesthood. Are you getting what the Bible says about me? A holy nation. A chosen generation. Why do you want to lose the chosen generation? Why do you want to go tangle with an unchosen generation? It helps your self-esteem. Amen. And it helps your mental health. Amen. To know that you are loved and you are precious to God. You guys have taken my time this morning. You have earned the right to say, these two shall pass. Why? Because a man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. Like Paul the Apostle, you can boldly say, God! 2 Corinthians 1:10. Who delivered us from so great a death? Are you with me, church? Is my mic still working? Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he shall yet deliver us. How did Paul know that God was still going to deliver? Because Paul knew by experience that God does not bail out on his people. Are you getting what I'm saying this morning? God does not chicken out on his people. When you trust him with all of your faith, God will come through for you. So Paul could say, guy, calm down. He who delivered us from so great a death. Do you know what God delivered us from? So great a death. He described it in verse 8. I will not have you ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. It is of our testimony. Of our trouble. It is our challenge. Christians don't like to call trouble trouble. No, I have no problem. I just have a challenge. All right? Whatever the nomenclature. Whether it's 2-methylbutane or 2,2-dimethylpropane, we're talking about the same thing. Of our trouble which came to us in Asia, he said that we were pressed. That's the word pressure. Pressure. Out of measure. Look at the rhyme there. Pressure out of measure. Pressure out of measure. Above strength. We had no strength to carry it anymore. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. That, well, if this is it, Father, receive us home. They despaired even of life. Have you ever been in such a situation? You will never reach that one now. Calm down. Be coming down. I said, be coming down. Don't allow the devil exaggerate what you are going through. I say, I don't know if I may take my life. Take your life for what now? A precious life. You want to get there and get a slap? Did you create the life? Why did you take it? It is somebody that wants to take it. Don't allow him. He wants to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus has come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Are you getting what I'm saying? The extra year is working together for your good. So that the right employer will catch you at the right time, the right place. The enemy caused it, but God is helping you. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now so, go back to my 2 Corinthians 1. Now let's go to verse 9. See what Paul said? Verse 9. Verse 9. He said, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. What does that mean? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. He said, we came to a point where we stopped trusting ourselves. We couldn't help ourselves. We knew that if we survived this, it must be God. Have you ever been in a situation like that before? I told God in 2023. I said, Lord, if you allow me to see December 31st, 2023. In 2023, I told God, in July, when I began to have suicidal thoughts, I said, Lord, if you allow me see December 31st, 2023, at the Stone Church, when they call me up and I'm alive to come and share testimony of Expression House, first thing I will do, I will roll from one end of the altar to the other. And God did, and I did. It was that serious for me to say, God, you know, I always believe in 120. For me to say at the age of 43, God, if you would just have mercy on me up to December 31st, I will roll. And man, I rolled. When I got up like this, I had vertigo. They gave me the microphone, the whole place was doing like this, man. I was like a man that had taken palm wine.
you can count on God. You can bank your life on God. I can face any devil today because of that experience. And say, I trust God to bring me out. You see that scammer? He was released from prison on Friday. Don't say, oh, no. Because we said he should be released. So that he can go and look for our money and pay. I woke up this morning, turned on my phone. His message came to my phone. He's apologizing. I said, tell your lawyer to talk to my lawyer to set up a meeting. Are you getting what I'm saying? This was the same guy that was boasting. There's nothing you can do. I said, hey, don't worry. I will destroy you. The greater one on the inside of me spoke to the smaller one on the inside of him. And a man that will not listen to the voice of reason will listen to the voice of prison. Prison has a voice. It's the place for Omo. My force. Prison has a voice. How many months has he spent there now? He was, let us have a meeting. The last time I deliberately didn't go to court, last time, I was chilling somewhere. My lawyer said, well, Pastor Fred is not available, Alaji is not available, etc., etc. After the court, they brought him from prison. He said, lawyer, please, can I send you to Pastor Fred and Alaji? I said, no, you can't send me to them. You talk to them yourself. Find a way to reach out to them. No, because I don't want anything. You will say, no. In his message this morning, he said, I told my PA to send a letter to you, but he said that the thing did not deliver. I said, I can't deliver. You mess up with the child of God, you mess up with the wrongest person in the world. I don't need to get engaged in boxing. No. We know where to go. For we realize where our help comes from. I have Psalm 32 verse 7 there. He is the shield of my head. He's the one that helps me in trouble. I have Job 20:15. He will pay my money, period. You have swallowed down riches, you vomit it up again. God will cast it out of his belly. Are you getting what I'm saying? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. So they're pulling down from. People think this scripture, yeah, this scripture, last one, it can turn your life around 24/7, 360 degrees. God's word, the Bible says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. It's not the word of his weakness. It's the word of his power. Power. Are you with me, church? Say to your neighbor, these two shall pass. We can say, like David, 1 Samuel 17:37, the God who delivered me from the paw of the bear and from the paw of the lion will also deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Saul had an argument before, but he couldn't argue any longer. When David told him his experiences, Saul had never faced the lion. The last time he saw a dog, he ran away. Lion care. Saul awaduro. Are you with me, church? Experience. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Ask those three Hebrew boys. Go ask those Hebrew boys. Why would they testify? Because they've got an experience. Are you with me? In verse 17, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, what did they say to him? They said, if it be so, what be so? If you cast us into the furnace like you have threatened. My goodness, when you begin to operate under faith, you stop to be apologetic. Can you get what I'm saying? If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able. Is he able? To deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he may not deliver us. What did they say actually? He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. That was what they said. I don't know where some theologians and Bible scholars got it from, that he may deliver, he may not deliver. If he delivers, yes. If he doesn't deliver, we still shall not bow. If he doesn't deliver, you don't have the option of bowing or not. You will burn into ashes, period. If he doesn't deliver. Have you been in situations where, God, if you don't come through, now shame. If he didn't come, shame straight. That's why, whether he comes or not, I will not be put to shame. If he doesn't come, then nah, shame. So you better come. You get everything at the talk? That was what they said. If it be so, what be so? If you carry out your threats, our God whom we serve, they had never seen him, but they connected with this God in their heart. They had been told about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those were their patriarchs. And they knew he never failed Abraham, never failed Isaac, never failed Jacob, and all the patriarchs. Why would he fail us now? God has never failed before. Why should he start in your own case? Some of us are spiritually proud. We need to repent before God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. My unbelief is a sign of spiritual pride. And what if God doesn't do it? Why are you so special that God will not do your own? Be doubting God every time. Don't let me vex you. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. It was burning like this. They were looking at the furnace. They dared the fire. They dared the king. How can you say we should bow down and worship you? You be God? Are you God? Some people need to hear that at some point in your life. People that like to play God over your life. You know that? Are you God? One of my uncles threatened me when I was going to get married. He won't send me money. He won't do this. Why? Because I chose the wedding date. I said, Uncle, when you were getting married, was it my father that chose your wedding date? You chose your date. You sent him IV. I was old enough to know. I chose my wedding date. He said, he will not come. I said, don't come, sir. I will not send you money. I said, I don't need your money. God will sponsor my wedding. They begged me after my wedding for weeks to collect the money he now sent through another uncle. I said, what for? Uncle, I don't need it. At his wedding. Did they tell you there was a deficit? Ketra got her money. Drinks, people. They gave me drink for free. Drink, water, juice, coca and soda, chilling, service, everything. Free. Free. Food was plenty. Security men were very happy. It was a party. I didn't owe the cake woman. We didn't owe wedding gown. Neither did we owe wedding suit. MC didn't come to collect balance. Musician got his money for everything. Ushers, in fact, they sold the uniform with our ass, baby. There was a limo. Say, oh my God, Polo, you were there. You're a member of the kingdom of God. We used a limousine. 40K. It cost us to rent limousine that time. 40K limo. Limo came to church. People saw limo. They said, those must be the children of ministers or governor. Me, governor, anything. Or governor general of the federation of the whole world. Are you getting what I'm saying? You may not have money like that, but the things that rich people do, God will do for you. If rich people go abroad on vacation, God will sponsor you abroad on vacation. The kind of schools that rich people's children attend, your children will attend. That's the prayer my father and the Lord prayed for me, and he's still working to today. There's a honor that comes from God. You, this church, you have honored me so much. Till this morning, still receiving gifts. My birthday was on Tuesday. Why are you doing like this? Some people bought me an iPhone. They gathered together. You see the shoe I'm wearing this morning. Some people, they just delivered it this morning. I wore another shoe from Omo. When I saw this one, I said, it's good for Sunday service. The ushers, they bought it. Choir. Now, I don't know what they brought with an aeroplane now. Imagine that. All the people, protocol, everybody, all the leaders, media, everybody, they've done one thing or the other. God will bless you. I'm saying that my God will bless you. I said that prayer for the choir before. I'm saying it for the whole church. God will honor you with many honors. Wherever you see the honor of God, riches are around the corner. They travel together. Therefore, it is too late for you to be broke. It is too late for you to be financially stranded in life. In the mighty name of Jesus. I see you. Oh, my time is up. And you know, now I'm a man under authority. I don't like to go beyond my time. But please let me wrap it up this way so I can finish that point. When God opens your eyes, still on that point, number five, you will see opportunities disguised as challenges. When a problem arises, you will know and see that there is a blessing in the storm. So your reaction, your response to problems from today will be different. Because you will know that there is something God is trying to do in my favor. Amen. That will prevent you from caving under the weight of challenges. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. And then I'll give you two more scriptures, and that'll be it for today. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what is it doing for us? Come on, talk to me, church. It's actually working for us. And what is it working for us? More problems? Bigger problems? What is it working for us? A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, the challenges, we don't see them, but we look at the things which are not seen, the opportunities. Are you getting what I'm saying now? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Opportunities produced by the word of God. What is an opportunity? An opportunity is a favorable combination of circumstances. The circumstances may not look favorable, but at the end of the day, the combination will be favorable. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's like the combination of soup. When you want to make bitter leaf soup, it's not a very good combination. Bitter leaf, you have to get it. It's very bitter. Too bitter to swallow. You have to put condiment. Maggi. Maggi is too salty. You can't eat Maggi alone now. So that's your lunch. Anybody, can I have anybody here? You'd like to eat Maggi for lunch? They say that's your food. A bowl full of Maggi. Ayo, how would that be nice? Ajinomoto. You can't eat it. And then another container of salt. How many people can eat salt for breakfast? So my breakfast is salt. Just salt. Salt breakfast. No, you can't take it. Huh? Another part of it will be palm oil. You can't drink palm oil and say, I'm okay now. That's my food every day. Palm oil in the morning. You can't be eating that. Oh, they give you raw meat, raw beef that has not been cooked. Eh? And you eat it. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Mama, rock mama. That's not been cooked. Look at all the ingredients. But when they put all of them together and they put it on fire. So when you go through fire, it's because there is a cooking. You are being cooked. After some minutes, when a stranger comes to your house, from the staircase, they can perceive. I will not tell the church. what's smelling here? Something good is smelling. That's not the time they say, God bless you. Thank you for greeting us. Come and be going. Say, go where? I came to greet you. Say, you have greeted us. I'm still greeting you. Until thou preparest the table. Can I have an amen to that? Because when the soup is ready, my friends, just a couple of minutes, semo can also be ready by the corner. Or yellow gari, or pounded yam, or amal, and then when you have that combination, my goodness, it's a very good combination. But about 35, 45 minutes ago, it looked very sour. It tasted bitter. It tasted too sweet. It tasted bland.
But now with all the combination, that's Romans 8:28, we know that all things, the shaki, edo, arero, ati, panla, with the fish, the chicken, the magi, the ewuro, olubu, the palm oil, the vegetable oil, and whatever combination being put together will work together for your good. When you go to an eatery, do you pay for the condiments? Do you pay for the raw materials? Say, I want fried rice, but I want you to serve me in the raw form. Basmati. So they give you raw basmati, raw green peas and spring onions and everything raw. So that's the way I want to eat it. Are you normal? You pay for the finished product. People celebrate the finished product. Some of you are still in your raw stages now. People are not, they haven't seen the finished product yet. But I tell you, let them wait for you long enough, because God is going to make the finished product happen in the name of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, be patient with me, be patient with me, be patient with me, be patient with me. God is still cooking me. Tell them, God is still cooking me. I'm still being cooked. I'm still being cooked. I'm bringing out that aroma. And if you wait long enough, you are going to partake of the goodness of God. They say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In the name of Jesus, that will be your testimony. There is always a blessing in the storm. Blessings are wrapped up by problems many times. But it's working in your favor. It's a favorable combination of circumstances. It is wrapped with the garb of challenges or difficulties. The three Hebrew boys we were reading earlier, the king threw them in the furnace. Got soldiers to heat up the furnace 7 times more because of what they said. We don't care about you, sir. Our God, he said, let me see that God. There was no God before that time that ever delivered anybody from fire. The soldiers that threw them in got burnt. The soldiers didn't get into the fire, but for coming in close proximity to the fire, they got roasted. They became barbecue. As they threw them, they could only recognize them by their teeth, because teeth sometimes doesn't burn. As they threw them, the people thrown got landed in the fire. I can imagine how many soldiers around the furnace. They didn't get into the furnace. Around the furnace. Around the throne of the Lord. That place became a museum. Otigopa. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego landed in the fire. The Bible said they bound them, including their heart. The soldiers bound their hearts. Can you imagine wicked soldiers? They tied their filler. They landed there, loosed. And they were having fellowship. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah, the God of hosts. His mercies endureth forever and ever. Oh, glory to the God of hosts. They were singing the songs of Zion. And the fourth man was with them, the Lord Jesus. He entered the fire. And Nebu. He said, Shia. He said, yeah, sir, yes, sir. Bring my glasses. He brought the glasses. He wore the binoculars. I said, am I seeing correctly? Excuse me, come. Didn't we throw 3 men into the fire? He said, yes, sir. Three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I see a fourth man. I see a fourth man. There is a fourth man walking with them in the fire. And his appearance, his form, his appearance is like the son. This one does not look like a man. He's a man, but a son of God. See, people said there was no God before. God will do things in your life that will make your adversaries admit that there is God.
is like the Son of God. Then he said, the next verse, what did he do? Next verse, verse 26, thank you, media. Then Nebuchadnezzar now came near. Now, he didn't come to the point where the gongpas were. He gave them some distance. He now shouted to the mouth of the burning, burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach! Meshach! Abednego! Abednego. That guy, man. He was a bad guy. I love that guy, man. He was a bad. I think it was that guy that really spoke God. Like, out of the three. God, when we get to heaven, I'll find out. Because that guy's like a bad Negro, man. You know, he was a Nigerian guy. You know, Americans call us Negro because we are black. The white people call black people Negro. That guy is a bad Negro. When you minister to a black man, right, you can get him with this. Say, man, there was a bad Negro in the Bible. Man, I ain't heard that before. Come on, tell me about the bad Negro. Man, the bad Negro went to the fire. Man, he went to the fire. He came out. Yeah, he came out alive. Man, I want a bad Negro, man. That's content for you guys. So, a bad Negro, right? And then he said, ye servants of the El Elyon. Who told him there was an El Elyon? Maybe they told him before. He didn't. He was arguing. Now he admitted, say, that they were servants of the Most High God. I said, things will happen in your life that your adversaries will be forced to say that God is with you. That we acknowledge and we see and know that you are a child of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus. Servants of the Most High God. What did he say next? Come forth and come hither. Come out. Ah! Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Fire was still burning. These guys didn't feel it. God turned that place into an air-conditioned event center for them. Fully air-conditioned. Everybody saw the fire, but by faith, they quenched the fiery fire. By faith. Faith can quench the fire. Can quench the power of fire. Faith can deny fire its power. Faith can shut the mouth of lions. And then they came out. So when they came out, what happened? Now, because we don't have all the time, verse 27, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. Now, it wasn't just the king that saw him. All these people saw these men. The miracle happened in public. God will do public works, public miracles through your life and in your life in the name of Jesus. Upon whose bodies the fire had no power. The fire had no power. Zero power. Fire that some people worshipped was domesticated by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They put it in their pocket. Fire. Nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Even their clothes didn't smell of fire. Can you imagine that? When you bought some taxi in town, 30 minutes, by the time you get down, you are smelling of smoke. Anybody that hugs you, me cry, let up. Because the guy didn't service his car. His silencer was leaking. And have you ever boarded a taxi like that before? In fact, some of them, your eyes will be bringing out water. Tears. You're not crying, but you're crying. I'm a tailoju. Listen. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, what did he say? Blessed. He worshipped. Said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel. How did he know? By experience. And delivered the servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Changed his own word, the king's word. Huh? And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Next verse. What did he now do? Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. It has never happened. What did he do thereafter? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They got promoted. Promotion is coming. Yeah. I am saying by the word of the Lord to somebody today, after this, the glory is coming. Yeah. That's what happens. There is a blessing in the storm. Don't be carried away by the storm. Stand your ground. Fight it. Pray fast. Sow your seed. Win souls. Evangelize. Be joyful. Serve the Lord with joyfulness. An email is coming. A phone call is coming. A text message is coming. Somebody's mentioning your name to the people that matter. The kings are going to send for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Your testimony shall be full. It shall be delivered to you. It shall have the seal of the Lord upon it. In the mighty name of Jesus. After this cometh the glory. One person said amen. Amen. Time will not permit me to talk about Daniel. Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. Who also went into the den of lions. It wasn't a very palatable experience. It was a problem. But when it came out into promotion. Stand on your feet, everybody. This is our season of promotion. For everybody going through some tough times, I want you to know that tough times never last, but tough people do. God is the glory and the lifter of your head. Doesn't matter how many people have made jest of you. Don't worry. God is the glory and the lifter up of your head. He will show himself strong on your behalf. This will be a safe place to close the service, right? Father, we thank you and we honor you for your word. The seed has been sown, Lord. Let it take root in them that heard it. Lord, let us have testimonies following this message. Let indeed us have testimonies following this word. Lord, I'm not asking for this so I may seem a big man of God. You are the big God. And you give me the word. I'm only privileged to share what you have given me. So you will get all the glory. No man will share your glory with you. Thank you, precious Father. Because testimonies will abound in this house. Amen. You will bless and prosper the works of the hands of your children. Amen. Everyone looking for help, you will help them. Amen. Everyone needing favor this week, you favor them. Amen. You cause men and women of substance to favor them. Amen. You will help them beyond their wildest dreams. Amen. You will help them beyond their greatest efforts. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.